Diamond has bad news for owners flying T-Alert engines. Hawker Beechcraft debuts its new Premier 2 light jet. And Avadyne brings text and weather graphics to European GA cockpits. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, May 20th, 2008. When AeroDiesel Pioneer T-Alert aircraft engines entered receivership a couple weeks ago, officials at Diamond Aircraft Industries expressed confidence they'd be able to keep selling and supporting the Centurion 1.7 and Centurion 2.0 engines supplied as original equipment in some of their planes. Well, that optimism suddenly evaporated yesterday. In its official statement, the company said, quote, "Overall, we have the impression, based on several actions taken, that the goal of the administration is to maximize near-term cash flow from what they seem to view a captive audience, operators of Diamond aircraft with TAE engines, whose only choice is to park an aircraft or pay whatever price TAE may ask for parts," unquote. Diamond says production of its DA-40 TDI and the popular DA-42 Twin Star have been suspended indefinitely until a reliable supply of engines and parts can be reestablished. The company adds that supply may end up coming from Austro Engines, which expects certification of its own diesel this summer. Diamond says its planes have flown with the engine, and retrofit kits would eventually be offered to current Diamond owners flying T-Alerts. The bad news? Those T-Alert owners would be orphaned. Diamond says it will do what it can to help with discounts on new engines. Ouch. We'll have a related story on the Austro diesel in a few moments. The 8th Annual European Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition opened today in Geneva, but Hawker Beechcraft just couldn't wait. On Monday, the company debuted its new Beechcraft Premier 2 light jet. The Premier 2 is an evolution of the successful Premier 1A, which claims to have the largest cabin and be the most technologically advanced single-pilot business jet in the world. The 2 model offers higher cruise speeds, a 20% longer range with 4 passengers, and an increased payload. The Premier 2 will be a twin turbofan, swept wing, light jet with all composite fuselage that allows for a medium jet-sized cabin at light jet costs. Other features include upgraded Rockwell Collins ProLine 21 panel and elliptical winglets for increased range. First flight is scheduled for the second quarter of 2010. Avadyne Corporation's opening day announcement at eBase is the new MLX 770, described as a versatile new two-way data link transceiver, which delivers data link graphical weather and two-way text messaging capability for general aviation operations in Europe. Cirrus Design International Sales VP John Bingham says Cirrus will offer the transceiver as a dealer-installed option in Europe. The system operates over the Iridium satellite constellation. In addition to traditional text-based services, radar and lightning will be available as premium offerings, and Avadyne says it will add satellite imagery in the near future. The European introductory price starts at about €8,000 plus antenna and installation. Units ordered now are expected to be delivered this fall, with monthly service charges at €50 to €80 per month based on 10 flight hours per month. Cessna announced at eBase the selection of the Rockwell Collins HGS 6000 heads-up guidance system for the new Citation Model 850 Columbus business jet, which is expected to debut in 2014. This will be the first heads-up display ever installed on a Cessna. Rockwell's Dave Austin says synthetic and enhanced vision are coming later. Cessna's Joe Hepburn says prospective customers indicated that heads-up will be a requirement for many flight departments. Cessna says the Model 850 has also completed low and high-speed wind tunnel testing. As the largest aircraft in Cessna's 80-year history, the Columbus requires bigger production and ground testing buildings, as well as expanded flight hangars. Later this year, Cessna will break ground on new facilities in Wichita, Kansas, where that plane will be produced. Dassault announced the 900LX as eBase opened. The new member of the Falcon business jet family will be built on the same platform as the 900EX and replace it in the product line, but will feature winglets and an extended range of 4,800 nautical miles. Certification is expected in the first half of 2010, with deliveries by mid-year. Dassault says initial flight testing shows the Falcon 900LX's improved wing aerodynamics, reduced drag by as much as 7%, improved climb by 10%, and will allow the LX to reach flight level 390 in 20 minutes. If it seems like we just covered a lot of stories in a very short time, you're right. There's a lot on the plate today. As always, you can get more detail on any of these stories in text format at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, U.S. Airlines post a combined loss in 2007's fourth quarter. ExoJet scores major funding for its expansion. And a fatal amphib accident appears to have been caused by a common mistake. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 20th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. A group of 20 selected passenger airlines reported a system operating loss margin of about 0.02% in the fourth quarter of 2007. That made the first loss after six consecutive profitable quarters. The Bureau of Transportation Statistics of the U.S. Department of Transportation reported the numbers Monday in a release of preliminary data. The 20 carrier group consists of the largest network, low-cost, and regional carriers based on operating revenue. The big driver for the decline was, of course, fuel costs. BTS notes the 20 reporting carriers spent a whopping 29% of their operating expenses on fuel during the quarter, compared to only 13.5% 5 years earlier in the fourth quarter of 2002. The network group lost 1.1% in the fourth quarter, while the regionals reported a 3.6% operating profit as a group. All this is going to sound like the good old days when 2008's first quarter numbers come in. Detailed information is available from a link in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Tight capital markets have put many exciting aviation projects on hold, but not the expansion of operations at ExoJet. The fast-growing business fractional company has bucked the recent trend and announced on Monday it's secured $2.5 billion in financing from Canada and the Middle East. Most of the funding will be tied to loans against the company's orders for 127 aircraft. Export Development Canada fronted $400 million of the total, available now, toward ExoJet's initial order for Bombardier Challenger 300s. An additional $500 million will reportedly come from Abu Dhabi, and another $1.5 billion in loans from other Middle East investors later this year, when ExoJet sets up its international base in the United Arab Emirates. William McGlashan, Managing Director of ExoJet backer TPG Growth and a director of ExoJet itself, made the understated observation, quote, "This will give us the capital to be able to scale to a very substantial level," unquote. The Wall Street Journal reports ExoJet has a ways to go to catch segment leader NetJets, which operates about 1,000 flights a day. That's about as many as ExoJet currently flies in a month. An all-too-common oversight appears to be to blame for Saturday's crash of a de Havilland DHC-2 Beaver during a landing on a northern Washington state lake. KOMO-TV reports two people were killed and three others injured when the single-engine float plane flipped over on landing on Lake Chelan. Witnesses said the amphibian's surface landing wheels were not retracted, causing the plane to catch and flip forward into the water. Photos of the wreckage confirm that observation. The flight was a charter operated by Lake Chelan Air Service and had taken off from the town of Chelan at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. It crashed about 15 minutes later. Lost in the crash were passengers William Stifner and Roberta Pitts. The pilot, Howard Wellman, was among the injured, along with Stifner's wife Patricia and an unidentified 16-year-old girl. As we told you yesterday to expect, the Air Transport Association of America, the industry trade group and lobbying organization for most U.S. airlines, has issued a statement opposing the Department of Transportation's Friday proposal for slot auctions at New York area airports. ATA President and CEO James May said, quote, "Our members and their passengers are frustrated by the DOT's continued fixation on auctions, despite the overwhelming rejection by passengers, airlines, and airports to such an experiment. These ill-conceived and unlawful proposals are driven by ideology and will not reduce congestion or flight delays. Instead of focusing on modernizing and expanding the airspace infrastructure, as the traveling and shipping public expects, the government seeks to curb that demand by making it more costly to fly. We must work to expand, not limit, capacity. This experiment will penalize the public, unquote. As ANN reported, DOT plans to let the airlines keep 20 existing allocations per day at JFK and Newark at no cost for 10 years and auction off the rest. After 10 years, that baseline 20% of landing slots could be up for auction as well. Like many recent DOT proposals, this one is a compromise which fails to please either the airlines or the proponents of free market solutions to congestion. In an emailed comment to AeroNews, Bob Poole, the director of transportation studies for the Reason Foundation, described the proposal as, quote, a good small step in the right direction, but not likely to have a big impact on congestion, unquote. Bob will have more to say in the next issue of his Airport Policy and Aviation Security newsletter. Still ahead, Diamond's DA-50 makes its first flight with someone else's diesel. The airline known as Open Skies gets approval from the FAA to begin operations. And a romance between coworkers winds up on a small-town police blotter. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, May 20th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. A few minutes ago, we told you about the apparent decision by the insolvency administrator for T-Alert Aircraft Engines, as reported by customer Diamond Aircraft Industries, to pull in as much short-term cash as possible, even at the expense of the engine company going under. Well, Diamond says it's been testing a replacement for T-Alert diesels. The company is now providing details. T-Alert says that last Wednesday, its first DA-50 Magnum made its first flight, powered by the Austro Engines AE-300 Jet A1 piston engine with single-lever control system. Diamond CEO Christian Dries was pilot in command, and Soren Peterson was the chief test pilot. Dries said he was impressed by the handling and more. Quote, I didn't know that such a big aircraft is able to fly with high speed and at the same time with low fuel consumption. This wide-bodied aircraft sets a further milestone regarding luxury, comfort, and economy in general aviation, unquote. The DA-50's first flight reportedly comes just 9 months after it was conceived. The company calls the Magnum a spacious four-seater with a max takeoff weight of 3,263 pounds, developed for the demanding pilot who flies long distance without payload restrictions. On Monday, British Airways' new business-class transatlantic airline, Open Skies, received approval from the U.S. Department of Transportation to begin operations. The new airline will offer flights between Paris's Orly Airport and New York's JFK starting in June. The company will start taking bookings next week, online and by phone. Dale Moss, the airline's managing director, promises to bring travelers, quote, an intimate, personalized, and premium travel experience between Paris and New York, starting in just a few weeks, unquote. DOT also approved Open Skies' codeshare arrangement with the French airline L'Avion. Open Skies will initially operate one Boeing 757, outfitted with just 82 seats. A second 757 will arrive later this year from the British Airways fleet, and the company hopes to be operating six aircraft in total by the end of 2009. Open Skies plans to add service later between Amsterdam, Brussels, Frankfurt, and Milan, and New York JFK. In its latest salvo against Boeing, Northrop Grumman Monday restated its position that the U.S. Air Force found its bid to build the next-generation aerial refueling tanker superior to Boeing's in four of the five most important selection criteria. Quote, Boeing likes to claim that its proposed aircraft was rated better than Northrop Grumman's winning KC-45 tanker, stating that it was rated superior to Northrop Grumman on 98 items, called discriminators, while Northrop Grumman was superior on 30. But discriminators are not just added up, they vary greatly in significance. In all, the Air Force identified approximately 800 requirements of varying importance, and the Air Force request for proposal made clear that it considered aerial refueling and airlift to be the two most important performance criteria. In these critical categories, Northrop Grumman was clearly superior to Boeing, attaining a 2-to-1 advantage in key discriminators, unquote. Northrop acknowledges that Boeing's 767-based entry does have some advantages over its Airbus rival. For example, the Boeing plane offers more interior electrical outlets, better flight deck seats, and the ability to carry secondary fuels like Swedish kerosene, which Northrop adds is rarely used. If this sounds a little like counting cup holders when comparing sports cars, you get the picture. Quote, the Air Force made clear what its priorities were in the RFP, rated the two competitors, and selected the KC-45, unquote. The Government Accountability Office is required to rule on Boeing's protest of the contract award no later than June 19th. And finally, from the police blotter, authorities in Swatara Township in central Pennsylvania responded to a call from a resident in the 100 block of Richardson Road Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. The Central Pennsylvania Patriot News reports the call had come in from Fire Chief Robert Furlong, who reported hearing noises outside his home and found an intoxicated woman inside the fire department's Chevrolet Tahoe. The woman reportedly told police there was a naked man in the woods, and after searching on foot until almost midnight, they called in a helicopter. About that same time, a woman who lives in the 300 block of Summit Ridge called 911 to report a naked man came out from behind her parked car and asked her for a pair of shorts. Police said they found the man a few minutes later hiding behind a shed. He was taken into custody wearing only a wristwatch and flip-flops. The rest of his clothes were found in the woods, where the drunk woman said the pair had decided to enjoy a romantic interlude while walking back to their motel room from a diner. The suspects were arraigned on numerous charges, and bail was set at $10,000 each. So I hear you asking, what's this doing on Aero News? Well, the police report identified the suspects as 24-year-old Pinnacle Airlines pilot Jeffrey Paul Bradford and 24-year-old Pinnacle Airlines flight attendant Adriana Grace Connor. Pinnacle Airlines could not be reached for comment. I'll bet Mom and Dad are mighty proud, too. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is airline passenger advocate Kate Hanai. She'll comment on new DOT rules for the airlines announced on Friday and explain why she predicts the Senate may yet pass FAA reauthorization by the end of June. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.